Let's be honest, you can find virtually anything you'd like on YouTube these days. Anything from helping you fix your car to the latest gadgets to travel tips and even breaking news happening around the world. Well, today's guest has taken something he was extremely passionate about and without giving it a second thought, uploaded it to YouTube and got to 100,000 subscribers. He's now sitting at over 2 million subscribers doing what he loves and what he does every single day. And here's the kicker. His channel doesn't make him any money. That's absolutely crazy. How can a channel this big with this many views not make your income? Well, it actually does, but in a different kind of way. Let me show you what it's all about. Let's do this.
Welcome to Tube Talk, the show dedicated to helping you become a better video creator so you can get more views, subscribers, and build your audience. Brought to you by vidIQ. Download for free at vidIQ.com.
And welcome to another episode of Tube Talk. My name is Liron Segev. I am a tech blogger, a YouTuber, and the director of customer success here at vidIQ, where every day we help creators big and small level up their channels, get more subscribers, more views in less time. And we do that by invoking a lot of strategy, using our software tools to really understand what's working and what isn't working. Now, today's guest on Tube Talk is someone who's absolutely figured out what's working. What's his formula? How does he get to those millions of views and millions of subscribers? Well, what if I tell you that his channel is all about dancing, fitness dancing to be exact? His name's Caleb Marshall. He is the Fitness Marshall, a channel with over 2.3 million subscribers at the time of recording this. And he's got a huge social media presence, lovely energy, engages with his audience, and has built up a phenomenal, phenomenal business. Caleb, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's kind of take five steps back. And for those who don't know you, who is Caleb in a tweet?
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I've ever been asked that. Caleb is someone who just likes to spread joy and be creative and do that through music. I think that's the best way to sum it up.
Jeez, that was good. That was even like old school Twitter, right?
Right. That was less than 140.
Wow. Respect for that completely. So tell us how you got started. What happened when you picked up your camera and you decided, okay, YouTube is the place for me? How did that journey start?
It was really by accident. I wish I could say that it wasn't, but before I started my channel, I didn't watch YouTube. I didn't know anything about YouTube. I had just grown up playing with cameras and like iMovie, and I loved making little home videos, but I really was never immersed in the YouTube culture. And so once I was in college and I was going to school for video production, and I kind of knew my way around a camera, but I really didn't have a way to produce my own content, get it out there, I kind of turned to YouTube to throw some videos up that I was really personally passionate about. I actually was in college and I went to LA my senior year to do an internship to go work at this production company. And I was very excited. I thought this was my dream. And I realized that I hated it. And ooh, I kind of panicked because my whole life was leading up to me graduating college and going and working for this production company. And it didn't pan out the way I wanted it to. So I was really kind of in a dark place and just realized that I was teaching these like dance fitness classes at my college, and that was just a hobby of mine. And I kind of took that hobby and made a few videos recording myself doing those dances that I was doing in college. And I just put like a really fun brand behind it. And I just had a lot of fun in the creative process, and I threw it up on YouTube, and I just kept doing that every couple weeks or so. And then within 8 months, I realized I had 100,000 subscribers. And I was like, maybe I should start watching YouTube and getting more into it.
And taking it a little bit more seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I really never knew what I was doing. I just was always really conscious of the way I presented myself. And I knew the meat of my content. I knew what that was. I didn't know exactly how I wanted to shoot it or present it, but I did have a brand behind it and a vision. And I think having that vision when I started is what allowed me to keep going, because it was less about like the little details and having every shot perfect or having a like multiple cameras or anything like that. It was just using what I had in the moment and just having a vision of where I kind of wanted it to go.
Oh, love this already. There's so much value just in your opening statements here. You know, the whole thing with YouTube is that, yes, a lot of people do this as a hobby. And at a certain point, you tend to go, oh, hold on. This is actually a thing. I'm actually getting some traction. People are loving what I'm doing. And I love what you said. It's you went in there with a vision. You had an idea and you said, well, it doesn't have to be perfect. I just want to produce my content, put it online and see where this leads and then turn it into a business, get it out there. But that's the important bit. How long ago was your first video, would you think?
It was October 12th, 2014. So
okay, he knows that exactly.
Yeah, it was a very special day. It was a little over 5 years ago.
Wow. And since then, you've been producing constant content?
Yeah, I've been doing the same format of videos for 5 years and just kind of elevating as I've been going, elevating the camera, elevating maybe my editing, but it's always been the same format. It's always worked and it's kind of allowed me to branch out and do other things. And I remember we also had a conversation and you were like, do you hate it? Like, don't do it if you hate it now. And I'm still at the point where I still love it. Every time I do a video, I'm like, oh, I can make that better the next time. Oh, I'm going to do a different move this time. Like, I'm still inspired. So that's what's really exciting is that I found something that has really worked.
Well, and you're passionate for it. It shows in the video. So for those who don't know, how would you kind of describe your typical video that you would put out there these days?
It's like a Richard Simmons VHS tape mixed with a Britney Spears music video.
Honestly, I was waiting to see how long you would take before you throw Britney Spears into it.
You know I have to do that. Okay. It's really easily digestible, follow-along content. The goal is to get everybody up and moving, so I have videos that are a little more maybe advanced, a little simpler, but the goal is that no matter what level you are, you should be able to play the video and follow along to some degree and just keep getting better. And most importantly, you should feel better, you should laugh, you should be having fun. It should be something that adds value to your day or takes the stress away. That's my goal, is really just to bring joy into people's lives through easy to follow along dances.
Do not picture the old Jane Fonda kind of workout in spandex. Although there is a bit of spandex somewhere.
But camo pants is what we got.
It's close enough. But it's not your typical kind of to the left, to the right, three twirls and you're done. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of heart. There's a lot of it just exudes so much positivity from each one of your videos, which is what makes this ridiculously awesome. And you've been doing your celebrity tours. I've seen you on news channels. I've seen you basically everywhere. Is this all coming out because of this channel?
Yeah. I mean, we just did Kelly Clarkson a few weeks ago and that was crazy. I think being in LA, I moved here 2.5 years ago from Indiana, and I've always wanted to be here. And so I feel like a lot of the industry, unless you're just going viral and for some reason Ellen's producers see you and flies you out from wherever you are in the middle of America.
Right.
I feel like a lot of it is about making connections and meeting people. And I think the making the move from Indiana to LA was the smartest thing I've ever done for YouTube. I know you can really do it anywhere, but with me not monetizing any of my videos, I really had to count on making those connections and real relationships out in the industry.
Okay. Whoa. Will you have views with 26 million views? The Meghan Trainor video, Sia's video has got 22 million views. What do we mean we're not monetizing?
I haven't made a dime off those videos. Actually, I've had to pay.
Okay, you're gonna have to break it down for us. Why is that? Because you know, if you think of the typical creator, we have a typical creator hat on. We know that we want to make videos on YouTube because we're gonna get those millions of views, hopefully, and that's gonna bring us money.
Yeah,
you have 26 million views on a video, and you're not making a cent. What's going on?
No, and that's the problem. I started the channel just out of passion. It was never started as a business, and when it became something that I could leverage and like something I really wanted to invest all my time in, I had to get creative and figure out how I could do what I love and make money. Because everyone's first suggestion to me is, oh, well, just don't use copyrighted music. But that wouldn't make me happy. And therefore, I wouldn't want to be doing this. So as I've gone on, I've had to find a balance. And now we do like YouTube memberships. And that's been really awesome because I can give people hour-long workouts instead of just one song at a time. And I can find a way to monetize my audience there. We can go on tour. I've had to get really creative and it's been an uphill battle. Like just last month, actually it was like 4 months ago, we had a label contact us and we had to remove, I think, over almost 50 videos. The Meghan Trainor one, the Sia one. I mean, those were all gone. All my views were gone. And I mean, the labels were just coming for us really hard and we're upset that we were using their songs. And it's confusing because then I have other record labels coming to me and saying, hey, will you please use my music? We'll pay you to use my music. So it's very confusing, but there's not a monetization turned on any of my videos unless there's been, you know, a random deal with the record label, which right. I think maybe 8 videos on my channel are monetized and they're not one of the more popular ones. So,
and how many videos do you think you have on your channel now?
I think probably around 170.
Okay. So, I mean, that's a fair number.
Yeah. Well, and cause I'm thinking about it. And that's what's different about me and other YouTubers. I'm trying to make content that people come back to. Not saying that's better. When people do these songs, I don't want to be the kind of like instructor that just uses the same moves over and over. And I want you to know that when you click on one of my videos, you're going to get a brand new experience. You're going to get new commentary, new moves. It's going to be a whole new thing that you can come back to. Just kind of like you come back to favorite songs or music right. videos by your favorite artists. I really approach everything as if it's, you know, a real music video.
So copyright music is obviously quite a big pain in your existence at this stage. Because, you know, it makes sense to you to use the latest and the greatest tracks that are out there because people are loving them. And combined with moves that you come up with the latest songs and the latest tracks, it kind of just gives the whole overall experience a wow factor. Mm-hmm. But now you have a problem because now the labels are saying, forget it, you cannot use it. Either they're telling you to take it off or they're telling you that if you are monetizing, we're going to earn that revenue. Do you have a plan or are you just going to carry on using that and saying, look, this makes me happy, as you said. This is what I'm going to be doing. This is what my audience loves. We're just going to do it elsewhere.
Yeah. So I've had to kind of come to terms with the realities of the business, especially just moving to LA and rent is very different here.
than Indiana. Yes.
Yes, it is. So we've really had to take a different approach. And as I've made relationships and especially after recently having a label have me remove all of my content, I mean, that was so devastating to me. And I've just realized since then that I don't want to work with labels who don't support me. I don't want to support people who don't support creators. And so I've just made a choice that I'm never using music from that label again, whether they, you know, want me to or not. Mm-hmm. I just want to focus on working with people who see me as a value, see me as a marketing tool, because really that's what my YouTube channel is. It's a marketing tool for music. So I'm not exploiting music. I'm not using it to my own benefit. I'm giving these artists a platform. I'm putting their songs on a channel with over 2 million subscribers and giving them a bunch of views and giving them all of that revenue. So I think it's more going forward. I look at everything I do as a partnership. And if it's not going both ways, then I really don't want anything to do with it.
It's so crazy to me that they would come at you when all you're doing is making people love their songs even more and giving people such an awesome experience. And yet that's not what they're about, which is crazy because that's what music should be about.
Right. Right. Wow. And there's a lot we can get into.
Okay. So we don't want to get you to trouble. So let's go down a road we don't want to go down. So now, you know, you've obviously got expenses. You said like LA rent is ridiculous. You know, you need to have a life. You do all of that. You've mentioned you do memberships, which is your one form of revenue, but then you did also say that you go on tour. Tell me about the tour part.
Well, that's my favorite. I mean, thing. That's what I started doing in college was teaching live classes. YouTube was always just a way to kind of get out there what I was already doing. So doing the YouTube videos allows me to sell tickets for basically a cardio concert is what we call them. And we rent out concert venues. It started out like local YMCAs, your local gym, but now we're renting out concert venues and doing live shows there. We have lights and sound and we'll have little skits in between. Everyone who comes, there's like a 15 song playlist and it's all the videos or all the songs from our channel. And so people know the dances kind of already when they come, but I'm instructing and everyone's following along and it's like a big, sweaty, sexy church service. It's amazing.
Do you know what your biggest concert to date is?
Yeah, well, I had a video like the Meghan Trainor one kind of went like a little viral on Facebook in 2016. And so I remember we had a show in Denver around that time and we had over 1,000 people buy a ticket to like dance. And when you're thinking about a concert, like, yeah, you can pack a room with a bunch of people, but when you're dancing, like you need space.
Right.
So average, we go like 200 to 400 people, but there was, I mean, a time when it was 1,000 people in Denver. And that was, I mean, insane. It was insane. And everyone's, can you imagine 1,000 people body rolling at the same time? Oh my God. I thought I was on the ocean.
But it's space that you need. Everyone needs to be safe and everyone needs to have fun and you can't overpack a room either. So even your 300 people venue, that's not a little bit of people. That's a decent amount. You know, we look at content creators and they say, oh, I've only got 300 subscribers. I always say to them, if 300 people were coming for dinner tonight, that's a lot of people, right? And people don't realize that a number of subscriber is actually a person on the other side. And you've personified this by saying, hey, these are people who are physically showing up to a venue. That is awesome.
Yeah, I think the internet has really made us really jaded to numbers. And I mean, when you see 1,000 views, you're like, oh, it's 1,000 views, but like 1,000 people, right. Like that's a, like what? That's a lot of people. I remember I was at like Dodger Stadium. I don't know why I was there. Cause I'm not a sports person. I was there, but I was there watching a game. And I forget how many they said it held, like 40,000 or something.
Right.
I'm not totally sure, but I was looking at all those people and I was thinking in my head, like, you have over 2 million subscribers. This is 40,000. This isn't even your vlog channel.
And right, this right, is right.
An arena of people. And that really helped put it in perspective to me. It's like, whoa, you need to take a step back and appreciate this.
Completely. You know, an artist, a music artist, biggest venue to play is something like Wembley Stadium, right? And that seats 90,000 people.
Wow.
Just to kind of, again, put it in perspective. So you have 2 million people, over 2 million, 2.3 million people on your channel. That is a lot of Wembley stadiums.
That's crazy.
Which is crazy. So tell me, do you use your other social media to kind of help drive traffic to your vlog, to your YouTube channel, or do you treat each audience differently? How do you use your social media?
You know, I think it changes. I really think it changes. Now I'm using more Instagram to do that. I love Instagram for kind of showing everyone where all my avenues are. I feel like that's kind of my homepage. I feel like Facebook used to be that for me. Facebook used to drive all of our ticket sales. It was our, I mean, driving factor of our business model. And then when the algorithm shifted overnight, we just stopped selling tickets to tours. People stopped seeing my content. Like it was crazy and immediately you internalize all that and you go, oh my God, people hate me now. But really, and then I talk to other people and everyone's like, no, like the same thing happened to me. It was just, I think it was like 2017 or something. But Instagram has been a really good way to kind of get out there. You know what I'm doing? I enjoy that more. I feel like Facebook has been so cluttered with, I just don't even know what it is. I don't enjoy using it. But Instagram and yeah, I use TikTok, but that's just to make me smile.
But it's great. You've managed to pivot and shift, and you understand when things are going right, and you understand when things are going wrong, almost like it's a real business.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's the message I'm trying to drive a lot home into people, that your channel is a business.
Yeah.
And whether you started out that way or you didn't start out that way, at a certain point, you realize that your channel has expenses, you have to travel to events, you have to buy equipment, things cost money.
Yep.
And as soon as you start making that conversion from, oh, it's a hobby, to, oh, wow, this is actually a business, well, then you start measuring stuff. And when you measure it, you can change it. If it's not working, you change it. That's exactly what you've done consciously, which is great. And therefore, you're able to stay that one step ahead. Do you find, like, speaking of TikTok, I know we spoke about this at VlogU when we first kind of started chatting. How are you finding your TikTok going? Are the audience loving what you're doing? Are you using it more as behind the scenes? What's your take on TikTok at this stage? Or is it still experimental?
I don't even, you know what? I actually have a few TikToks I need to post. Thank you for reminding me. it's very experimental for me. I have no idea what works or why it works. I like would put so much effort into like a funny comedy video that I thought was great and it got like a couple thousand views. And then I recorded a video of me and my friend walking up a Stairmaster to Chris Brown's Run It and hopping on the Stairmaster, and that got like 9 million views. And so I said, I don't know why. I don't know why. And you can't even see my face, so it's just like the back. So I'm just like, maybe I just have like a nice butt or something. I don't know. But it's very fun just to play around and know that there's really no penalties. I think we talked about this. You're not going to get dinged. You can really play and experiment, and everyone kind of gets the chance to shine on TikTok. So it's a really exciting place just to not care.
Compared to your YouTube channel, which is crafted, it's specific, you're shooting with a purpose. And that's great, because you as a creator, you want that creative outlet as well. You want to be able to show you just having a drink on the beach and just relaxing. And people want to see that. They want to connect with that. But maybe your YouTube channel isn't the place for that.
Right.
So therefore, you go to social.
That I found that the more, I mean, because I've been doing these videos for 5 years, and the format's always, you know, been the same, and I still love it. But just even this past week, I started to make different types of videos for my second YouTube channel, and I just started the podcast, and I have been so much busier because I'm also my only editor. I have no outside help for editing except for my friend who does the podcast with me. She helps on the podcast and a few of our like members only videos, but I'm doing all this myself. So I don't have a lot of time now, but it's been so, I felt so much better creatively just having other places to put my brain.
Yes.
Not only focus on this one thing, because it just felt like I kind of had a band around my brain. And it was like, okay, make a dance video, put out dance video. It's such a formula that I feel like creative people, you need to just throw yourself a curveball and give yourself something else to do so you can re-inspire in other sections of your business.
Well, it helps. It overall helps. There is no downside to this. It's an outlet. And, you know, if you start, that was the conversation we were having. The second you start hating what you're doing, you've got to do something else. And if you've got these other platforms where you can play and experiment and have a bit of fun again, well, then you put more effort into your YouTube videos. And that is great. It's just a perfect opportunity. So now, if I'm looking at your thumbnails on your channel, you have looked like they've evolved dramatically over time. Is this with a purpose?
I mean, I've talked to my YouTube partner manager a lot, and I feel like I've come to the conclusion that I have no idea what I should do with my cover frames. Before, I didn't have a title. I just let the system grab a frame. And now recently, and literally just in the past like 4 months, because I could not bring myself to remember to take a cover frame in the moment. Mm-hmm. But now we've been taking like photos.
Beautiful.
But I also don't know if that performs better, because then it's like, does this look too staged? But I've tried to add more contrast in my cover frames. That's been a conscious thing, to contrast me from the background. And I think, and I could be totally wrong, I think it does better when you can tell that people are back far enough that they're dancing, but that I'm close enough to the camera that people who know my face can see my face.
Yep. Absolutely. People connect with people. So when you're up close and we can see the whites of your eyes, as we'd like to say, that is what people connect with. And you're always making that YouTuber face, overacting, over enunciating everything. That's perfect. That is YouTube gold. And people who don't know you, they're going to look at this. It's going to come up in search and they're going to connect with that thumbnail. It looks awesome. Let me click on that. And people who know you are going to click on your stuff anyway. So it's a win situation regardless. But again, it's a common theme that you keep on saying is you don't know what you're doing, so you're experimenting.
Yeah.
And I love it. I think that's perfect, because so many people take it so seriously that, oh, if I did this, I'm never changing it ever again. Well, then nothing's going to change on your channel. Right. What I love what you do is constantly jazzing it up, constantly trying something new. Whereas if you look at your old videos, they were in a studio. Your new videos are on some random hillside. It would
seem. That's because we don't have a budget. You know what? It actually, I enjoy it so much more, because from the beginning, it was really kind of always my dream to have like the fitness marshal be like outside and like dusty in a place. And I finally found a location. I don't even want to say where it is, because I don't want to jinx it.
Yes,
but I found a location where no one bothers us, but there's still always people like hiking in the background, which I love. I think that is so funny, because then you see their reactions and it makes it so much more human. And we're like in this very color corrected, like flashy with special effects dance fitness video, and then there's random hikers in the background. And I don't know, I just love that. But it also is a really green, and so it allows me to key a lot and add a lot of effects that way. So I'm basically getting a natural environment that I can play with visually at no cost.
You make do. That's the whole thing with this, is that, you know, if you want it badly enough, you'll find the right avenue for it. And you'll find three or four venues, and three of them don't work, but one will. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy to go spend lots of money on hiring a studio and having set build. That's easy if you have that kind of budget. Or think a little bit outside the box, find a dusty hill somewhere, and go big.
Right. It's all about working with what you have. I mean, no matter what you have, if you just have an iPhone, like go make an awesome YouTube video. You can make an incredible YouTube video with just your iPhone and a random tree outside as your background. Like you don't need the best, because that's the whole point, is you grow. And that's another thing, like people will delete their old videos, or they're like, oh, I can't stand to watch that content. And it's like, no, that's incredible. That's, you see like your journey and your old videos, you go back and you look, and that shows you how you've grown or what you should improve upon. I think if you start out perfect, that's not fun. And I don't see how you can really grow from there.
And if you're not cringing at your old videos, then you're doing something wrong.
Yes.
So as simple as that. And if you look at some of the biggest YouTubers in the world, go look at their old videos. They were terrible. Bad audio, bad lighting, bad video work, but so what? It's like any other skill. You get better the more you do it. And it sounds like your editing has come a long way. You're talking about color corrections and keying. You're pretty hardcore tech into this. Were you always this hardcore into your tech because of your education background? Or is this something that you kind of naturally just loved and just experimenting with?
No, I just always loved it. I remember my parents got me like a laptop when I was in seventh grade, and it had this thing called Digital Blue, and it came with like a kid's recording camera and then editing software where it had like alien effects or lasers, and I would make a bunch of home movies, and I would love doing visual effects. And so when I went to college, I went to college for video production in hopes that they would teach me something. And that was immediately when Final Cut 10 came out, and I had been using iMovie. So I was so excited. I made the switch to Final Cut 10, and then I got to school and they said, oh, we're only using Adobe. So I put my foot down and I said, well, I am not using Adobe. So all the classes where they were teaching us stuff, which was far and few between, I really just had to learn myself. So college was really more just a sandbox for me to kind of experiment and have time to play. But it's always been something I've just been naturally interested in. I've never really had to force myself to learn.
Well, it's great that's it, because you love it, so you're going to do it. And you just make a plan to get the right product out. Simple as that. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's midnight kind of editing, but it just has to be done, right?
Well, and it's also really overwhelming, I think, for people at the start. And that's why I'm glad I started with like iMovie and then worked my way up to Final Cut. And I think just growing with a program, or just like learning one thing at a time, is so important, instead of getting overwhelmed and being like, I need to learn how to use everything all at once, because that's just setting yourself up for failure. And it's not very fun that way.
Now, when it comes to your titles and your thumbnails, how much of this do you take into account the algorithm? Or do you kind of say, forget the algorithm, I'm just going to do me, people are going to love this content anyway?
I think both.
Okay.
If I know there's a new song, the Justin Bieber song I just did, his first single came out, and it just got like 3 million views in a month. And I was I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I don't know if this is just Justin Bieber or if what happened, but the algorithm picked it up and it ran with it, and then it threw it back down.
as it does.
But I really try not to think about the algorithm too much, because I think it takes away a lot of the joy of creating.
Yes.
If a new song's out, I'm like, oh yeah, this might do well, I'll choreograph to it, but I don't go into it being like, oh, this one has to blow up. I do it more for me. And I've learned that over the years, like, that's all that if I don't do that, I will go crazy.
Yeah, you always win when you do it for yourself. If you're always watching, doing it for the views, it's just a matter of time before you burn yourself out, because you're constantly on that hamster wheel trying to find the next viral, trying to find the next video. And then you lose perspective. You go, how come this video only got 70,000 views? And when you start thinking like that, that's a sure fire way to a short-lived career on YouTube, as opposed to, hey, that was fun. What did we learn from that? Great. What do we do with the next one?
Right. And I think it's also a unique place for me since I am not monetizing the videos. It doesn't really, like, yeah, it's cool, but unless it's leading to something else, it really doesn't do anything for me. So I'm more conscious just about, like, how can I use this to help my other business models that are making money, or where, how can I use this to direct people to my YouTube memberships? It's a lot more about that now. And so it's kind of like a weird blessing that I don't have to be so concerned with monetizing a quick viral video.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. And who's like your inspiration on YouTube that you would say, wow, like one day when I'm big, I'm going to be awesome and really collab with this person, or I really want to work with that person. Is there anyone in mind besides Britney Spears?
Oh my gosh.
We knew it was Britney Spears. That was too easy. Somebody else.
A dream collab. You know, I mean, a YouTuber. I mean,
or not.
I think Richard Simmons would be so iconic to collab with.
Oh, wow. Yeah. We would watch that.
Yeah, no, I think that'd be incredible. But I it's interesting. I feel like I just got into the YouTube community this past year. And so I've been meeting a lot of people. And the only person I really watched before starting my channel was Justine. So that was, right. It was so bizarre because that's where we met at Vlog U.
Absolutely.
And, that was like my YouTube icon, you know, and I watched a lot of her videos when I first started out, but now I'm meeting so many people and there's so many people I want to collab with, but I'm meeting them more like first and then realizing, oh, you have 10 million subscribers. Like that's really cool.
It's got to be the right fit. You know, just saying, hey, I'm just going to do with these people with X number of subscribers and above. That's not going to do anything for you. And it's not going to do anything for them either. But sometimes things just click. You just have a good natural fit with each other and it just makes complete sense.
Okay. Yeah. And I feel like too, like especially doing these news, like I do just doing Kelly Clarkson or doing collabs and getting a media exposure. Exposure does not equal long-term longevity or success. I would go as far as to say it doesn't even equal, I mean, gaining a quick amount of subscribers.
Or really?
Unless it's like if I'm going to go on James Charles's channel, I'm sure I'm going to get a bump. But out of like all of like the collabs and news things I've done, nothing has really been a significant, like a huge spike. It's really always been a journey and a climb. And I think being out in LA has taught me a lot that just because someone posts about you or just because you go on a certain show doesn't mean that you're just going to get whisked off and your channel is going to explode. It's just, I feel like everyone is famous these days. And I don't know if I'm just jaded, but I feel like everybody is somebody. And there are just, it's just such a saturated pool that just being on a certain platform or doing a collab with a big YouTuber isn't enough. You just have to have a plan and you have to really believe in what you're doing and be about the grind.
It's not guaranteed. And that's a great myth to bust right there, because a lot of people think that, oh, if only so-and-so would shout me out, my channel would explode. Or if I get that media exposure, yes, I'll get a bump, but that's going to be the game changer that changes. Now, it does happen to some unicorn channels, but for the majority, is that it just isn't it. You've got to put in the sweat, the grind, the work in order to be able to get to those levels. Now, is there any video that comes to mind on your channel that did give you that lovely bump of subscribers?
Oh, yeah. Yes, there is. So as far as like, honestly, the biggest bump in subscribers happens not from collabs or shows or anything. It's just from YouTube's algorithm deciding that it's going to make you famous today.
Yeah, it loves you today. It's going to distribute your videos today.
Yes, exactly. My Megan Trainor video that was really big. Yummy did a lot for my channel. I think that I'm going to tell you exactly how many subscribers I got from that video, because I think that's an interesting stat.
Ooh, breaking news right here, people.
So Yummy got 3.5 million views and it got me 45,000 subscribers.
Oh, wow. That is a big bump.
That was a big bump. And then I look at my next video that I was really excited about, and I got 400 subscribers. In the video after that, there was one that got like negative 70. So it's just, it's really, it's hard to pin it down. But when the YouTube algorithm loves your video,
Right.
You definitely get rewarded for it.
Wow. And your videos have got, I mean, they do well. Their videos have got hundreds and thousands of views, even like 77,000, you got 95,000. They're all up there. Isn't a video out there that has just did 1,000 or 3,000? And yet, you know, again, and the reason I'm bringing this up, because people think that, well, when I get a video with 50,000 views, it guarantees to give me 50,000 subscribers or some ridiculous number. And that's not the case.
It's not a guarantee at all. And I think that's a huge myth to bust, is people try so hard just to get a viral video and they think that's just going to sprout their wings and take and carry them to the promised land. And that's just not the case.
You'll get your bump, you'll get your exposure, but it's your channel that delivers. And that's what I love about your channel, is that you don't rest on the one video. Every video is you putting your heart and soul into it. You can see the energy like jumping off the screen at you. And even people who are not into this at all, you get people who will just watch it for the fun bit of it. And
that's my favorite.
And that's, I dig that. I think that's awesome, is that you're appealing to such a wide community, and that's the power of the internet.
Yeah. Well, and I've always consciously made it. I make them for also people who I know are sitting down. Like, I want you to be entertained. I don't want this to be just a video you have to follow along to. So it's very conscious, I would say, from the beginning. Even if it wasn't in the forefront of my mind, it was always back there somewhere that anyone watching this will be entertained. I don't care if it's a fitness video.
Well, sounds like you were born to do this.
I hope so.
Okay. So Caleb, if you could put a message out in Times Square or a tweet or an Instagram post that the entire YouTube community would see, what message would you have for them?
Oh my God. Oh gosh, the whole YouTube community, I would say, make content that you're proud of.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I think I that'd be my tweet.
You're quite short on your tweets. I like it. It's direct, direct and to the point. Caleb, but I think that really speaks to the heart of everything that you've done to date. It's, you've put your passion, your heart and soul on the line, and you're putting yourself out there, and sometimes it doesn't work, and that's okay. You take a bit of a knock and you get up and you just do the next one, and you get better and better over time. Mm-hmm. And that's what people absolutely love. And if people want to find you, they want to follow you, they want to get into everything that you have to offer, where can they track you down?
They can track me down on YouTube at The Fitness Marshall. I also have a vlog channel and kind of a tutorial channel that is just my name, Caleb Marshall. And most importantly, I just launched a new podcast with one of my now best friend and ex-girlfriend, Haley. It's called Coffee with My Ex. It is a podcast, and we talk every week, and it's very funny and exciting and a new adventure. So go check it out.
That can't be weird at all. All right, we're going to have all the notes, all the links in the show notes, so you guys can go and definitely check it out. Caleb is awesome. You know, always fun, always a pleasure. So I appreciate you hanging out here.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me.
Excellent. And for the rest of you guys still listening, don't forget, smash that subscribe button in your favorite podcast application. Share this episode with at least one other creator who's maybe doubting themselves, doubting their journey, or just wants a bit of fun and energy in their life. We all know those people. Share this episode with them. And don't forget, leave us a comment. Let us know who else we should be speaking to. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode of Tube Talk. Caleb, thanks again.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tube Talk, brought to you by VidIQ. Head over to vidIQ.com/TubeTalk for today's show notes and previous episodes. Enjoy the rest of your video making day.